Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's episode 200. And I didn't even look at it yet. What are we at? 289 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. How you doing? It's Drew Papsky along with Jeff and Doyle. And we're talking rumors, people. Not the great Fleetwood Mac album that you may have borrowed from your parents' CD collection. We're talking about the NHL trades going on and happenings and behind the scenes. And we're going to get down to all of it. The Flyers are involved in all of it, people. I'm trying to connect the dots. They're involved in all of it. And happy 4th of July to you. Hopefully you're off on Monday. Because it's America's birthday, god damn it. Greatest country in the world, even though we're talking about a non-American sport. It's Canadian, but whatever. We got to have something that we gave them, or they gave to us. What's up, Jeff and Doyle? You guys ready to talk about some rumors?
Yeah, there are plenty of them. It is fun that, you know, not like the Hextall days where the Flyers had zero rumors about them because they didn't, you know, loose lips sink ships, so they never said anything to anybody because Ron Hextall only talked to, like, one person in the front office while he was the GM.
Yeah, so we never knew what was happening.
Yeah.
I think the last exciting offseason thing to happen while we were, you know, doing this podcast, I think, might have been just Kevin Hayes getting signed, but they traded it for his rights, so it was, like, kind of a foregone conclusion, so it's kind of like just waiting to see if it happened.
So yeah.
Now we're actually...
Wasn't that, like, during the Stanley Cup Final, too?
Yeah, it was before the end of the season. Yeah. Which is funny now because obviously the NHL breaking news, not really because you guys already know this, Victor Arvidsson was traded. So we are having some trades now happening before the Cup Finals are even over as the Lightning look like they're about to cruise to their second straight Stanley Cup over the Canadiens. But this is starting the dominoes, and we're seeing a lot of rumors pop up. So the Flyers are involved in some things. If you haven't been paying attention, this is a great episode for you to listen to. If you have, it's great too because you'll probably be able to prove us wrong on some things we say and misinformation. So appreciate you listening. But, yeah, so we got the Arvidsson trade that happened. Apparently, some Flyers fans are upset that the Flyers didn't make the same trade because, you know, the Flyers can always do what every other team does, apparently. What are your guys' thoughts on the trade?
I think it's kind of funny that a lot of, like, Flyers fans are, like, freaking out that they're so in on Seth Jones. But they're like, oh my God, we could have had Victor Arvidsson for that much, who is also on a pretty steep statistical decline in his last two seasons.
Yeah, and it's like, well, injury too, right?
You guys don't want Seth Jones because he's apparently in a statistical decline, but you want Victor Arvidsson, who's also in a statistical decline.
Yeah, Arvidsson hasn't been the same since Bortuzzo crushed him in whenever that was. And like his contract's like 4.5. So it's kind of expensive.
4.25.
You have no guarantee he's going to be good.
Well, that's the thing. I think the main thing the Flyers fans should realize, if you're wondering why they didn't, like, obviously, they probably kicked the tires on it, but the Flyers have more pressing needs right now before they can even, whatever cap space they have can't be spent on a forward upgrade, which he definitely would be. I mean, he would help out our top nine, but the problem is they have a more pressing issue.
It's so many wingers.
They also have guys like Voracek still on the team and JVR that are sucking up a lot of salary. If you get rid of Ghost and Voracek, you could have replaced, because him and Ghost's contract pretty much cancel out. But, I mean, I don't know. It's not a priority for the Flyers right now.
I also did an expansion draft move for Nashville because they have to protect, they'll probably protect all four defensemen now that they have to protect. With Yossi, Ellis, Ekholm, and I think Fabro all have to be protected. And, you know, Arvidsson, who is in a statistical decline, that probably gives them a little more room to figure out who they're going to protect, because I think they're going to leave either one or both of Johansson and Duchesne available.
Which makes sense. I also did a dive into King's Twitter when the trade was announced to see what they thought of it. And apparently the Kings have, I think, three or four, like, A prospects ready to go. And this is the veteran leadership that'll help with the forward core once, you know, because who's there besides Anze Kopitar, really, who's, like, worth anything on the forward core? They got rid of Jeff Carter. I don't know. I don't know enough of the Kings lineup to know who's still good.
They just have him, I follow, I think, is pretty decent. Dustin Brown's still there. But yeah, other than that, they have a lot of like young guys playing right now.
Yeah, so they're just, you know, building that veteran leadership.
They won enough cups still, you know, last 10 years, and they're rebuilding. It happens. Good for them. It's what you're supposed to do. But yeah, so that Arvidsson trade kind of is set, and it set a little bit of people a little upset, but I feel like when I saw that, I'm like, oh shit, well, good for the Kings. Good for Nashville. They cleared up some like potential problems with the expansion draft and losing someone for nothing. And whatever. It's the Flyers have more pressing needs. Speaking of which, the Seth Jones situation. So of Jones and Hamilton, two of the main targets we've been talking about for the Flyers, multiple sources are saying that you know, they're in on this. And at least, I mean, I'm not saying they're like, you know, the front runner or whatever, but there have been multiple things I've read from different people, not just the same old, you know, just, you know, dumb beat reporters. I mean, like actual people at TSN and like people that are much more trustworthy and don't like Pierre LeBrun, and like, you know, they're saying the Flyers are definitely involved in the talks with Jones and they're pushing hard for it. That makes me happy. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I'm at the point now where they need to do something. And we've talked with, you know, we had some great guests on recently. I think a lot of Flyers fans are like getting antsy. Like, we need to see like some results here. So at least we're here, yeah. In on it. I mean, obviously there's a lot of our teams interested, and you never know what, you know, Columbus is going to want to use to get for parting with them. But
all right, before we go into what like package rumors there was, if you guys had to pick three players on the Flyers right now that you would deem like untouchable, I mean, I'm pretty much open to trade anybody if, you know, the right deal presents itself. But like, if you had to pick three people that you were that you wanted to hang on to, who would you pick?
Kutz, Provorov, Hart.
Okay.
Jeffrey. Yeah, that's my list too. I wouldn't go outside of that.
That's from a logical standpoint, not an emotional one. There are players that I do like on this team and want to see them flourish and develop as a Flyer. Like, I like Lindblom, obviously. I want to see Patrick develop, and I like Konechny to an extent, but and Farabee, but everyone, I mean, those three, I think, are cornerstones. You build Kutz as a Selke winning center, and you have a young stud goalie where a lot of people around the NHL, not just Flyers fans, are thinking he could really, like, you know, compete for the Vezina one day. And Provorov, yeah. Although he may not be a true number one in many people's eyes, if he gets a right partner or someone else to help him in the top four, he's big money. That's a defenseman a lot of other teams would love to have. And we drafted him. So, I don't see that. Those are the three. Just cornerstones of building a cup-winning team. You need a good defenseman. You need a great goalie. And you need a great center.
Yeah, I was debating between Kutz and Farabee. But I think if the Flyers trade for Jack Eichel and you got to give up Farabee to get him, then yeah, I'm all for it.
We can
talk about this.
Yeah.
Like Farabee, I don't understand the sudden zeal to not part with Farabee. Like it's 1 year. TK did the same thing. TK has regressed since his points year. So there's no guarantee that Farabee is going to keep up this pace. I think it was Mertidis pointed out too that like Farabee scored in bunches and then went dry for long periods of time.
Yeah.
But like if you're going to give up him as part of a package to get a Jack Eichel, granted, who has a history of back injuries, Jack Eichel is a proven commodity. No guarantee Farabee is going to do anything past this year. Like, I would do that trade in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff, I agree with you. Although, I'm not trying to be pessimistic about it. There is no guarantees. There's no guarantee he's going to be able to do that. There's also no guarantee that he's going to develop into, like, a 30-goal score perennial. Like, you don't know. And it's not even just like that. I think when you have a proven commodity in Eichel or someone that like, you know, can really help this team right now, you have to part with some of your stuff. You can't just like, you know, trade your like, you know, old beat up car and expect to get like a Mercedes. You have to like, you know, give something else in the equation for it to work. I think a lot of fans are worried about being bit by like, oh, we got rid of this guy and he would turn out to be a superstar and win a cup on our team. Like people think the Braden Schenn trade was stupid still because he won a cup in St. Louis, not realizing like, you know, that team won the cup, not Braden Schenn, you know?
Oh, my God. I saw someone trying to defend the Luke Schenn trade in favor of Luke Schenn.
Why?
Stanley Cup winner, Luke Schenn.
Whatever you want.
I've also seen a lot of...
I was on my usual Twitter feed.
God.
I didn't even click on anything. It was just there. I was like, are you kidding me?
I also saw some comments where they were saying, all right, well, this package looks great, but we take out Joel Farabee and we put in a German Rubsov or an Isaac Ratcliffe. And all the replies were along the lines of, why would any team want two guys who haven't cracked the NHL and it's been like 5 years since they've been drafted?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a team might take that on as like, you know, it's a sweetener, but it's not going to be a main piece.
Yeah, that's like a Seattle thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense from like for the Blue Jackets, for them to be like, okay, we have like a glaring, like Patrick Laine is probably not going to come back because John Tortorella made him so mad. And even though he's fired, he just has a bad taste in his mouth. And we're going to trade Seth Jones, so we need to get something of value back. How about this often hurt center who's only played in the KHL or wherever German Rubsov has been playing?
Yeah, who hasn't really shown any glimpse of offensive prowess since he's been drafted.
Or you could have the one-time 30-goal scorer and sell high in the event that he doesn't develop in anything and becomes a bottom six player like Scott Laughton.
I think the moral of the story is you just never really know. And I just really think fans are just like worried about getting burned and having like a player go on to do great things like Patrick Sharp or whatever. I mentioned that last week in my defense of keeping Nolan Patrick for a little longer.
But at the same time, funny too, because like Patrick Sharp bloomed so late. Like,
yeah,
he wasn't that good. He was stuck
behind a bunch of veterans named Keith Primo, Jeremy Roenick. I mean, he was stuck behind some great players.
I mean, Justin Williams, I think you could make a better case for, but they were so like in need of a defenseman that year when they were trying to like make
Williams kept – he had like an ACL tear. He kept getting hurt, if I remember correctly. He was like – he wasn't consistently in the lineup either. I think he had two different injuries, if I remember right. I was very young at the time, but I remember that a little bit.
But I think, like, you know, everybody compared, like, stats between, like, Farabee and those two, and they're like, we can't trade him now because he's already better than both of them.
But the thing is, we're not trading Farabee to move on from him because we don't think he has any value. It's we have an immediate need, and, like, we want to take the next step, and it's clear we need to do that. And also, if you watch any games this year, you know this roster has some room to grow, whether it's cutting out some dead weight and replacing it with new stuff, or just like, you know, cutting out more. I mean, I don't know. We all know there needs to be some sort of change. And unfortunately you might lose a player that you have their jersey and you're hoping they'd be here for 10 years. It happened to you with Mike Richards. Okay. You'll get over it.
Still a good jersey though.
Oh, it's a great jersey. Yeah. It's like, I had like a Richards, Gagne and Pronger jersey. And I was like, oh, nice. And like they all within like 2 years all left the team. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, fucking thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Paul Holmgren. Freaking give Dan Cleary a tryout. You don't even sign Gagne. Sorry, I'm over it.
That one. I'm still burned by that one, too.
People who know that, who remember that reference are the real ones, by the way. The rest of you, do your homework. But yeah, so back to the Jones thing. So package rumors, which I always dealt with in college. I didn't. Comedians. Fuck you, Stu, man. Moving on, though. He's not even listening, so it doesn't matter. But
he turned off our show like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, at least 2 years ago, maybe. But looking ahead, though, so with this Seth Jones, like, the Flyers are kicking tires on it, apparently. There's a lot of package rumors out there. What are some ones you guys have seen? I know we had a little group chat with the screenshots of different tweets, but what are we talking here?
Aaron Portsline and Corey Promnan, who I believe write for The Athletic, put out a article, I guess, of what they both thought was the rumor package, or what I guess would be equal value or whatnot. But they said it would be Phil Myers, Morgan Frost, Zade Wisdom, and next year's first round pick for Seth Jones.
Yeah, I remember. That's the one that you sent the other day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, everyone really likes Zade Wisdom. He did really well on the Phantoms this year, but...
He's a good story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stories don't interest me, though. I want a top four defenseman, and primarily a top two defenseman, which is what Seth Jones is. So Zade Wisdom can go write his story in Columbus for all I care.
I mean, but, yeah, also, we need to have... you know, something to get Seth Jones, a player like Seth Jones's caliber. And if that's the trade they're making, then I think I'd be happy with that.
If that's the trade they make and they sign him, if they have a deal immediately after in place or whatever, and they trade that, I'm okay with it. If they give up that much without signing him, then I might be a little more upset.
Yeah, Chuck's bad, but I don't think he's that bad. I think the hesitation from the Flyers' end is because they don't know if Seth Jones wants to sign for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need to, like, you know, but, give him a tour of the facility. Like, hey, dude, like, you wanna play here? Like, that we have some good stuff. He can play with Ivan Provorov. He's pretty cool. He's a cool Russian.
Your dad's an assistant coach for the Sixers. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We talked about that before. It's like always like, oh, McNabb's nephew, Darnell Nurse, he might come to Philadelphia. It's like, guys, just because they played a sport, an our sport here, does not mean that everyone's going to come here.
Yeah, it's funny.
So that
I've also seen Sanheim being interchanged with Myers, which I really wouldn't care.
So
yeah, his dad's nickname is Popeye. So Popeye Jones.
I love that. So yeah, Myers or Sanheim could be swapped out, but they get the first round, Zade Wisdom and Morgan Frost too, right? So yeah. Morgan Frost.
I've seen Frost, Farabee, and Konechny mentioned in a bevy of
I'd be good with any room. Of so if that's the package of like if it's like Frost, Konechny, or Farabee, and then it's like Zade Wisdom, and then it's like a first and like Myers or Sanheim, I'm good with that package, honestly. That sounds like a lot, but like let's put our money where our fucking mouth is, you know?
So if you get Seth Jones and you do well, your first round pick is bottom of the first round, right? And those are never super reliable. They're kind of hit or miss.
I don't care about the picks so anyway. Like, we've stockpiled so many picks these last like 7
exactly.
years.
Exactly. So if you...
But the next two draft guys are supposed to be super deep.
I don't care.
But if you do care. Well enough...
I'm tired of doing the offseason show of draft irrelevant. Picks. I'm tired of it. We've been doing this for like 6 years now. No, sorry, Jeff. I'm angry. Just Doyle's triggering me.
No, I agree. I agree. So that's what the Penguins did for all those years. The Penguins are always trading away first round picks. And then we were like, oh, those guys are idiots because they're wasting all the first round picks. But all their first round picks were like 28th, 29th, 30th overall. And it hasn't hurt them. I mean, it's coming to roost because they aren't getting as far in the playoffs as they thought
they
were.
They had the core
but
they
for
needed,
a while
though.
There. It was working gangbusters for them.
Well, they
did it for like 10 years
they
straight.
They had Malkin and Crosby and just would plug and play players around them, get a solid third line center to wrap up some duty for them. And then they had a good defensive core and they had good goalies for a couple years. That's how they were able to do it. They didn't need to worry about drafting because they had the best player and a couple other really good players with them.
Exactly, and that's where the Flyers need to be now. So I'm ready to start. Let's bolster the NHL roster, something Ron Hextall neglected because he was too busy organizing his trains and draft picks.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get going.
We did restock the cupboard, though. We've had a great pipeline. We still have some good prospects like Cam York and all that stuff, but now it's time to make some moves and not worry about losing a precious first-round draft pick when you can easily have a top caliber defenseman that could help this team out in more ways than one.
How crazy would it be if the Flyers trade for Seth Jones and still have enough assets left over to try and also trade for Jack Eichel?
If they're able to do that, I would like eat my underwear.
And somehow ship one of JVR and Voracek to Seattle.
They'd have to for the cap, yeah.
Yeah.
If they're able to get Eichel and Jones, that would change the whole face of this franchise. All of a sudden, that's like, all right, well, you thought the Flyers would be good this year, but they're definitely going to be good next. I don't see it in a world where they're not like competing for the top of the division if that happens. This is pipe dream stuff, but it's getting me excited.
They've been saying, like, hard. Get Jones and then go after another defenseman like Adam Larson, who is, I guess, right now using the rumor mill to fuel his contract negotiations.
Yep.
But
well, apparently the rumor was that the Flyers are watching that contract negotiation very closely. I don't know. Pela Brune reported that or something like that. I forget.
Yeah.
I read so many different
either
rumors.
Him or Friedman, one of those two.
But him and Friedman I usually trust, but I just reading so many rumors that they're all tying together. I'm like forgetting which ones were which.
I said too previously, like I would like to see the Flyers get one of Seth Jones or Dougie Hamilton and then also sign someone like some either like Adam Larson, Alec Martinez, or like Goligoski, someone else to put like in the top four that, you know, can play like some pretty heavy minutes.
Well, especially they trade for Jones or like whatever, and they have to part with Myers. You wouldn't need to fill another need there. You can't just hope to like that Ghost is going to figure it out again for more than 10 games at a time.
Yeah.
I don't know. But so the Seth Jones thing, we'll be watching that closely, obviously, and watch. We'll see. Maybe the blockbuster trade will happen soon because we're coming up to it, people. We are only, you know, we're less than 2 weeks away from the expansion draft list being due. And the expansion draft is, you know, merely like 3 weeks away. So we're getting close to it. So we'll have to see. That's going to affect the trade market as well as that happens. But so the Seth Jones situation is definitely something big. I also, have you guys seen, apparently Voracek's name has been thrown out there a lot too. Speaking of not just Flyers trading for players, but I've read multiple people said there's a little smoke about Voracek possibly being on the block and people, you know, Flyers are putting him out there.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So
I saw one rumor said that they were looking into Seattle.
Yep, I saw that too. I actually saw Angry Jim from High and Wide. They were going through that. That they were shopping them to Seattle, and Seattle was in some talks with them about it.
Yeah, and then I saw another one that was like, you know, the typical, like trade match between the Flames and the Flyers, because they're both kind of stuck in the same spot of like being a really good team on paper, but not being able to get over the hump. And, you know, obviously everybody runs with that and tries to swap Voracek for whether it's Gaudreau or Sean Monahan or whatever. But I know we're fed up with Jake Voracek, but I think he's definitely overpaid. I think if you can, it's not like he's not a valuable player.
He is.
He still scores at like, what, 0.81 points per game or something like that over the last couple of years.
He's always in the top three in points on the Flyers, I feel like.
And he's every year top 10 in his position. So it's not like he's not worth anything. I mean, you might have to retain a little bit of salary to get rid of him or send over whatever to Seattle to take him. But it would be interesting to see if any of that Calgary stuff comes true, because apparently Calgary, Daryl Sutter doesn't, I guess, like, you know, in the media isn't really a big fan of Johnny Gaudreau, I guess. And he's a free agent after this season. So there's a lot of souring going on over there, just like we're souring over Jake Voracek.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, I've been on the trade Voracek train for, you know, a little while now, but it was never about that he wasn't a valuable player. It's just I think he ran his course here, and I think it needs to be a shakeup. There's a lot of teams that would love to have him. I mean, he's a pretty powerful forward that can take over games at times, but like it's just he's not out there to play like, you know, a solid two-way game. And
it's interesting too.
A lot of teams would love to have him. He would help out a lot of teams. He'd probably do very well there. It's just I think it's time to move on.
It's interesting too. Like, you know, I looked at some of like the expansion draft, like just running like that simulator to see like you can like quick protect people, like just hit it and like it'll quick protect the teams, like like based on the players and stuff like that. And as far as I saw, there's not like, I mean, the defenseman pool is like really heavy to pick from for Seattle as far as that went. But like, as far as like top six scorers and like top players being available, like for forwards, there's not that many. Well, and I feel like, you know, Seattle obviously has to get to the cap floor. And if you can get to the cap floor while getting someone who is still like capable of putting up points, like, why wouldn't you want to take that?
Also, Voracek's
especially if
contract.
if you're trying to follow the Vegas mold of like we want to be competitive right away.
Yeah, Voracek's contract was front loaded as well. Actually, it was less cash on the back end.
Yeah.
So, but the cap hit would still stay the same. So, it would be cap savings in a way, while reaching the floor without actually spending the money. Just, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Kraken, if you're listening, you know, I'm helping you out here. But Voracek was in Frank Saravelli's top 20 players to watch in the offseason, and the same reason was he's saying that if they can entice Seattle with some draft picks to have them pick Voracek at the expansion draft, they'll do that, because that way they don't have to, you know, worry about withholding any salary. So he just gets picked up. Yeah. That could be huge. If that would clear up a lot of things, and the Flyers could start wheeling and dealing. but it's all very delicate. Like, it's all like predicated upon can you get rid of these players or who the expansion draft changes everything.
Yeah. You know, it might just be wishful thinking from me too, that I'm just like kind of hoping that it happens. I'm speaking it into existence. But
that's what we're all doing because we can't talk about how much the Flyers.
But I'll take, dude, if Seattle takes one of JVR, Jake, or Ghost, I'm all aboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of Flyers Twitter is starting to get antsy because they saw the Arvidsson trade and now they want stuff to happen and they want Chuck Fletcher to make moves. But like, honestly, like you guys just said, I don't think anything is going to happen until the expansion draft is over and the Flyers know exactly where they stand. Cause like, if they don't protect Nolan Patrick and they float Patrick, Ghost, Voracek, JBR out there, there's a strong chance that if Seattle isn't interested in one of those guys, they just pick up Patrick at a cheap cost. Right. And then you're still stuck with your whatever $27 million in salary, whatever it is. So like, I don't think Chuck's going to do much of anything before the expansion draft at least. And then I think at that point, once you find out who's gone, then on draft day, you really start wheeling and dealing and get rid of what you've stockpiled and start making trades.
I think they're going to protect Patrick. He would be in my seventh slot if they do.
It would make sense to protect Patrick, so you're forcing Seattle to pick one of your big contracts.
Exactly. If they protect Provorov, Myers, and Sanheim on the three defensemen, and we have them protecting Giroux, Hayes, Coots, TK, Lawton, Lindblom, Patrick would be my seventh.
Yeah, and you're basically telling Seattle, like, if you're not going to trade for Jake, you're going to pick him. Either way, you're getting an $8 million contract that we're trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
We're going to pick Nicholas Obey-Kubel or Robert Haig or Justin Braun.
Penalty problems, Kubel.
Yeah. So we shall. It's just a waiting game now. But it, now that there is like, you know, some rumors going on, it is a lot more exciting. And I'm starting to like think it actually could happen. But, you know, there are other teams with other, I'm sure, fan podcasts that are talking about the same exact thing. Dude, Seth Jones could change the whole makeup of this franchise because, you know, everyone wants their team to get better and improve. But
well, so one of the things we skipped over in the beginning was Duncan Keith is rumored to be going to Edmonton. And that's supposedly the Hawks clearing up space to sign DeBrincat and then also go after one of Hamilton and or Jones. So
because, yeah, thanks, Chicago.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You want enough cups? Now you're just going to come in like try to win more? Thanks.
That's interesting, you know, because they don't have like the overall makeup to really.
Yeah, I thought they were rebuilding.
I don't know. Yeah. It just shows you that other teams are as interested as on these guys as the Flyers are. And I think it was Charlie O'Connor pointed out, athletic writer, that the Colorado Avalanche are heavily interested in Seth Jones, and they are one of the most analytically driven teams in the league. So the fact that those analytics people aren't worried about Seth Jones's decline, quote unquote, should be an insight into your Twitter mouth, Twitter mouth breathers, that Seth Jones is not as bad as his numbers show him to be.
Yeah, but I remember when Seth Jones was drafted, man, like he was the big name and they were surprised he slid to fourth.
Yeah.
They were like, if Seth Jones would be picked, the Nashville guy. I'm like, why is Nashville always having these amazing defensemen? Like, it's easy to forget that he was on Nashville for a while and they actually, like, let him go.
I remember when he was traded and everybody was like, wow, I can't believe Nashville would do that. And then they just backfilled that position with, like, Roman Josi and Matias.
Yeah, they always have good defensemen. Even without Barry Trotz, they just happen to have good D. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, now they have Dante Fabbro, too, who's, like, just another young, really good defenseman.
Yeah, they know how to do it. So once again, though, the last time the Flyers got some defensemen from Nashville, what happened? The Flyers went to the Cup Final with Kimmo Tiiminen. I mean, I know it's not directly from Nashville. However, he has a Nashville pedigree.
No, they got a. Didn't they trade for Tiiminen and Hartnell's rights, and then they signed them?
Yeah, from Nashville.
Yeah.
Then they traded them. They traded something. They traded the picks back they got from trading. They did like something.
Forsberg.
And use those picks to get the rights for Hartnell and Tiiminen, and they signed them. But, yeah, that was part of the quick turnaround rebuild, guys, Eastern Conference Final. Then a year later, they get us to the Stanley Cup Final. We lost to Ben Eager and his amazing wrist shot. But, you know, that's all in the past. We're over it. It's fine. We don't bring it up every episode of this show. There you go, Sean. Hope you're doing well in Indianapolis, you sick fuck. So
do you guys have a preference as of...
Yes, women.
As of... Seth Jones, Hamilton, or Ellis? Or do you guys just like get one of the three and I don't care and we go from
Jones because he's 26. Long time. Love us long time.
Yeah, I would go Jones because he's younger and also because he's more defensively minded, and I feel like the Flyers don't need more offensive defensemen.
Yeah,
he can
lock Cam York
pans out to what he should be.
Seth Jones, we can like start in all situations and be good to go. I think Hamilton, although admittedly I don't watch all the games he's played in, I'd always felt like he was more offensive minded and good at it. And I'm not saying he's bad defensively, but Jones is more of the complete guy I think this team would need.
Yeah, I think Hamilton is like a analytics darling, which is why people really like him.
I never want to hear analytics darling in a player I want to pursue.
Yeah, Jones fits the need, and so does Ellis too, as just a defensive defenseman that the Flyers need to kind of calm games down. You know,
well, yeah, I mean, like Ellis would be great, but Jones is younger. I think he has more offensive upside than Ellis.
Yeah, the only thing I like about Ellis is that I think I like rank both of them together, where I'm like, if you can't get Jones, just please go get Ellis.
Right, because Ellis is on term too.
Yeah, Ellis is older, but he's also signed for like another 5 or 6 years or whatever, but his cap hit's only like 6 million or like 6 point something million. Jones, you're going to have to re-sign. You're going to have to probably pay like
out the ass
7, 8, something like that. Or that's probably what he's going to look for. But yeah, I think Ivan Provorov is, if he has, like, I don't know a lot about Seth Jones's like puck moving ability, but like you saw with Niskanen that if Provorov has a partner that can move the puck well, he plays so much better.
Yeah, he has to anchor and hold everyone, you know. Provorov is not Chris Pronger. Like, he can't make Matt Carr look like a superstar.
Yeah, if Provorov just has a defensive partner that's reliable, even if they can't move the puck particularly well, but Provorov can trust them not to make mistakes, like that should help him too.
When Gudas was on his game, Provorov and Gudas actually played okay together at times. Just think about that.
The cheese pairing.
Yes. So just imagine if they were able to, you know, get him someone like Ellis or Jones to play with.
Yeah.
Could all change very quickly for this team. And that's why I'm hoping, sweet baby, 8-pound baby Jesus, please.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, if, you know, they strike out on Jones and somehow sign Hamilton, I'm not going to be upset about that either.
No, but we need to do something. Jones is preferable. But once again, though, if you don't get your first choice, hopefully get your second or third choice, because it's better than no choice and going into it saying it was just a COVID year. We're going to try it again. That's going to cause ire in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and I also feel like nobody... if they strike out on all three, it's like, oh, we signed Adam Larson and that's going to be it. And it's like, oh, God.
I also feel like nobody's talking about him anymore since the trade deadline, but I feel like Matthias Ekholm might also be in play here.
Yeah, we've bandied about his name a few times on these very microphones.
So, like, he's on an expiring contract. Yes, he's going to be 32. But, like, I don't know. I feel like Nashville, like you just said, is a defense factory. So the guy you get from there is probably going to be good, whether it's Ellis or Ekholm. And like, if you can't get, you know, with Seth Jones is too much money or the trade doesn't work out, it's like a consolation prize, but it's not really a consolation prize at the same time.
Nashville is to defensemen as what Howie Roseman wants the Eagles to be to quarterbacks. That's your analogy of the week. We're going to have a quarterback factory, just like Nashville has a defenseman factory. But yeah. I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to see what happens with moving forward with this. But do we have any other rumors to go over before we wrap this bad boy up? So Larson, Jones, Eichel, Hamilton.
I briefly saw, and I brought this up to our friend Mike Bond from the Scuttlepuck podcast. There was, I don't know if they came from official sources, but they were floating Jesse Poole party for Nolan Patrick.
Yeah, I saw that. I think there was a bunch of bunk. I didn't see anyone.
Because Jesse Poole party is having a career resurgence in Edmonton right now, and Nolan Patrick is minus 30 playing third line minutes. So
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's just a Flyers Twitter rumor that
people
have Flyers
started.
Fans are just hopeful happens.
It would have been awesome to get a Flyers jersey with Poole party on the nameplate, though.
Yeah, but to sleep, perchance to dream. You could get an Edmonton Oilers jersey, get one of the cool orange ones, and, you know, wear it around your house. Be a nightgown for you. It could work.
Do you think the Flyers try to? Isn't it funny that, like, you know, every year that we've thought the third center has been locked down, it just hasn't been locked down?
Yeah.
Thought for like the
Scott,
last like 5 years going
Scott
into the
Lawton,
season, like,
Hayes,
finally we have a third line center.
Nolan Patrick.
JK, he sucks.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that. I mean, if Nolan Patrick is able to, like, you know, continue to improve, and have a bounce back year next year, that could solidify. But also Scott Laughton. But Scott Laughton also has gotten time on the wing. Like him playing wing with Hayes looked really good at times.
Do you think they sign an old guy, such as Valtteri, if they keep Felpula? JVR, do you think they try and bring his former line mate and setup guy, Tyler Bozak? Do you think they try and actually get Paul Stastny, like they tried to get however many years ago? Or do you think Chuck Fletcher tries to revitalize Eric Staal's career for a second time?
I hope to God not. I wouldn't mind. I mean, I don't know. Some center depth is never a bad thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Eric Staal was looking good up until these cup finals, and then he encountered the buzzsaw that was Tampa Bay. But then, I mean, everybody on Montreal, like, that's what I was laughing because, like, these three games so far with the Canadiens and the Lightning, like, they've just been embarrassing. And I was like, oh, look, Cole Caulfield's doing nothing in the Stanley Cup finals. He would have made a great flyer because he doesn't show up when it matters.
He had an assist last night.
Dude, the Canadiens, though, like, dude, they were in the weakest fucking division. I mean,
yes.
Let's be honest.
Not to say that they
it's America's
lucky,
birthday weekend. I want to tell you how it is. Your division stunk, and the Flyers could have made the playoffs in that division. That's how much your division stunk. Okay.
I mean,
Carey Price was like,
the Islanders are pretty good.
Carey Price was carrying them through those first three rounds, and now like he's kind of come back down to earth.
I'm telling you right now, if the Islanders made it to the final. If the Islanders somehow were in the Canadian shoes, as you saw, that would have been a much more competitive series for the Cup. But obviously, it wasn't going to happen because they all both came from the same side. But you know what I mean, though? I just feel like I feel like the best series was probably that Lightning and Islanders, if you're going to have like a late round series. The Canadians did get rid of the Vegas Knights, which is good, but I guess I don't know. Matchups are important, but Carey Price, like you said, Doyle, is the X factor. And that helped. The Flyers played them last year. Carey Price was keeping them in games.
Yeah. I think I wanted to see – I think on paper, probably the Avs, as far as, like, dealing with the depth of the Lightning, probably had the best chance, even though they're kind of a little weak at goalie.
That would have been, like, a really explosive
series. That's what I was really
series,
hoping
so.
For would finally make the Cup final because
– Yeah,
they would have been exciting. A lot of goal scoring probably, too.
Yeah, that top line of McKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen is just insane, but –
And I'm pretty sure all the analytics had the Avs going to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised Vegas beat them. I thought the Avs were just going to cruise to the finals, honestly.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch that much playoff hockey this season. But, you know, it is
and
what
now
it is.
If you're watching Game 4 tonight, you'll probably see Tampa Bay win the Stanley Cup because, honestly, none of the first three games have been anywhere near close.
Well,
Jeff, you know who else has looked pretty good for the Canadiens?
Didn't it already happen? Because we're doing this.
Former Flyer and MVP of the Habs, Erik Gustafsson.
No, he looked like trash the other night.
Raffle? Just kidding.
Corey Perry.
That is
future
true.
Flyer, Corey Perry.
Yuck. I don't like that. It's his eyes. He's like Scott Farkas.
Yeah, but he still is able to, you know, he's still able to help the teams he plays on. He's still effective. But I know you don't like him. But I don't know. I just get Seth Jones or Ellis. Or Hamilton, please, Chuck Fletcher, and then give us something else to talk about. We get that, then everything else will fall into place. But it's going to take the expansion draft, which is coming up on July 21st, and the NHL draft will follow on the 23rd and 24th. So for us, the next couple of weeks, we are going to be looking more at rumors as they pop up, and also we'll be seeing we'll have some more guests coming on very shortly, working on a couple special guests coming, maybe some former Flyers or former Flyers staff. That's called a tease in the radio business. That's how you do it. And then by the end of the month, we'll be hitting free agency and we'll be cruising right along. But hope everyone's 4th of July. Dude, I'm ready. We did this a little early, so I'm ready for the 4th of July festivities. I love America's birthday. We're going to be shotgun and bush lights. You guys ready?
Playing Degeneration X.
I hope people are just like hungover driving home from their shore planes on Monday listening to this and being like, ugh. I hope I'm annoying you with your headache. I'm hoping I'm making it easier, actually. Because I care about you. Thanks for listening. If you guys want to help out the show. Please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps us out. It gets us up in the rankings. We've been moving up in the Swedish rankings for hockey podcasts lately. I've been checking that. And we're in the North American one. We're doing okay, but we're doing well overseas. I don't know why.
Yeah, maybe some people. A fine showing in Japan, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, it's like
maybe we should do a Sweden tour now.
yeah, maybe we should, yeah, we should spend all our money, take off a time of our real job to promote this over in Sweden. That's a great idea, Doyle. Let's talk about this when the mics are off.
Find all three people that listen to us in Sweden.
Wow, you make up a third of our listener base, all three of you, because no one listens to this show.
And shake their hands.
We're going to need to cut. Did Meltzer teach himself Swedish?
He did, yeah.
So we're going to need him to come as our official translator / advisor to Swedish matters.
I feel like if that happened, like, I mean, we were pretty cool with Bill when we were on the show, but I feel like he would either love us and our shenanigans or just be like, you guys are retarded and hate us. I'm not sure.
Can you guys stop drinking so much?
Yeah. Stop asking for snake dogs. We're in Sweden. They don't. I feel like there's only a certain like amount of like people in the Flyers universe that like, you know, get us and the rest just tolerate us. Like only
Bill, what's the Swedish word for snake?
And dog. It's like, damn it, I'm not asking this again. Oh man. I can't wait to kick this little hangover I have and get back after it, boys. It's a 4th of July Eve over here, and we're getting ready for it. So, guys, thank you so much for listening. We hope you guys have enjoyed your 4th of July weekend with your families. Get out after in the summer. Hopefully the Phillies can start winning games in bunches and stop falling apart. But you never know.
Yeah, don't hold your breath.
It's the dog days of summer, and we're going to be here next week to talk more about rumors, more about things happening. Maybe something will happen already, or maybe we'll have some former Flyers on to talk about some things. But you'll have to just wait and find out. We'll catch you guys next week. Go Flyers. Make Seth Jones happen, Chuck. You bastard.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky, Jeff, and Doyle. Available anywhere you get your podcasts. Check out BroadStreetBully.net for the latest episodes and daily content about the Philadelphia Flyers. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at the BSB Podcast.
Yeah, da 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 da.